Welcome to Audit Insights Navigating Quality and Ethics, the podcast where we break down everything you need to know about auditing. From understanding how audits work to exploring the ethical standards that keep the profession trustworthy. We've got you covered. I'm Justine, and with me today are my amazing co-hosts, Maui and Ella.
Hi everyone, it's great to have you join us. Today's episode is all about two pillars of the auditing world, quality management and ethics. We're going to explore why they're absolutely critical to maintaining public trust and how they shape every aspect of the auditing process.
That's right, whether you're an auditor, a business professional, or just curious about how the financial world stays accountable, this is the episode for you. We'll break down complex concepts into simple, actionable insights while sharing why these principles matter now more than ever. Let's dive right in and get started.
Let's start our segment one by looking at quality management in audit firms. Our primary focus will be the systems that audit firms must have in place to guarantee the quality of their audits. For an audit to be reliable, it's not just about having technical know-how. It's about creating a structure that supports consistency and quality across all engagements.
Exactly. The importance of having a good system in place to manage audit quality. One key concept here is the System of Quality Management, or SQM, which ensures every audit engagement is carefully planned, executed, and reviewed.
Absolutely. The SQM isn't just a checklist. It's a comprehensive system that touches on every aspect of an audit. Everything from training and professional development to how audits are conducted and compliance with auditing standards. It's a firm-wide commitment to quality.
And it's a systematic approach to ensuring audits meet the highest standards. A big part of the SQM is the monitoring and remediation process. Think of it as the safety net that catches any errors or issues before an audit is finalized. It's the same whether you're working at a smaller firm or a big four powerhouse.
Right. And SQM isn't just about processes. It's built around 8 key components. This include governance and leadership, the firm's risk assessment process, relevant ethical requirements, acceptance and continuance of client relationships, engagement performance, resources, information and communication, and of course, the monitoring and remediation process you just mentioned.
Let's break that down a bit. Governance and leadership really set the tone for the entire system. Strong leadership fosters a culture of quality within the firm, emphasizing high standards and ethical practices.
Exactly. Leadership isn't just about the partners at the top making decisions. It's about empowering everyone on the team to align with the firm's quality management policies. For instance, the firm's chief executive officer or managing board of partners holds ultimate responsibility for the SQM, but specific tasks like ensuring compliance with independence requirements are often delegated to partners who have the right influence and authority.
And leadership doesn't stop there. They're also responsible for setting quality objectives and conducting risk assessments, which are foundational to the SQM. A firm needs to identify risks that could impact audit quality and design tailored responses to mitigate them.
And don't forget, well-documented policies and procedures are just as important. Clear documentation supports consistency, helps everyone understand their roles, and ensures the SQM runs smoothly.
That's a great point. Now, speaking of policies, let's talk about relevant ethical requirements. Auditors need to uphold principles like independence, objectivity, and confidentiality, not just to tick boxes, but to maintain public trust.
And ethical requirements also come into play when deciding whether to take on or continue working with a client. It's not just about the technical work. It's about evaluating the client's integrity and the reputation of their business. Firms need to screen clients thoroughly, especially if they operate in high-risk industries.
That kind of due diligence is crucial. But beyond the ethical side, there's also the operational piece, how engagements are actually performed. This reflects the firm's overall commitment to quality.
Absolutely. Engagements need to be carefully planned, directed, supervised, and reviewed. And when things get complex, like when auditors encounter unusual situations, firms should have a culture that promotes consultation within the team. Collaboration is key to maintaining high-quality outcomes.
Let's not overlook engagement documentation. Proper documentation ensures transparency and accountability. For example, firms are required to finalize engagement files within a set time frame, say 60 days after the engagement report date. That's not just a formality. It supports effective reviews and continuous improvement.
Speaking of improvement, let's circle back to the monitoring and remediation process. This is all about continuous assessment, regularly reviewing how effective the quality management system is. Firms need feedback loops, internal audits, and engagement reviews to make sure they're staying aligned with regulatory standards and their own policies.
And as the business environment evolves, training programs need to keep up too. Auditors face emerging challenges like sustainability metrics and cybersecurity risk. Continuous learning is a big part of quality management.
Exactly, Ella. It's about staying proactive. Quality management is more than just following rules. It's about building trust, fostering a culture of excellence, and always looking for ways to improve.
Now, let's turn to the next segment and talk about the Code of Ethics for Professional Accountants. This code is at the core of every auditor's conduct. It lays out the ethical principles that guide auditors. Things like integrity, objectivity, professional competence and due care, confidentiality, and professional behavior.
Exactly. The Code of Ethics helps auditors maintain independence, which is so crucial in auditing. For example, the principle of objectivity requires auditors to stay free from any conflicts of interest. It's easy to see how that could get tricky if an auditor has worked with the same client for too long or has personal connections with the client's management.
That's right. Auditors must not only be independent in appearance but also in fact. And that's where challenges like audit tenure come in. The longer an auditor works with a client, the greater the risk of becoming too familiar with them, which could impact the auditor's objectivity.
Exactly! And you know, ethical challenges really pop up when auditors are under pressure to sign off on financial statements that might not fully align with accounting standards or tell the whole truth about a company's financial health. The code makes it clear that auditors need to stand their ground and resist that pressure. Their duty is to the public, ensuring that financial reporting remains truthful and reliable.
Another key aspect of the code is confidentiality. Auditors are privy to sensitive information about a company's financial position, and it is essential that they respect the confidentiality of this data. Breaching confidentiality could not only damage a firm's reputation, but also undermine the trust between auditors and their clients.
However, there are also exceptions to the rule of confidentiality, such as only when disclosure is required by the law, permitted by the law, and is authorized by the client, and there is a professional duty or right to disclose when prohibited by the law. In other words, confidentiality may be overridden when there is a compelling legal, ethical, or professional obligation that mandates disclosure.
Absolutely. Confidentiality is a fundamental ethical principle that public accountants must consistently uphold. Protecting client information not only builds trust, but also upholds the integrity of the accounting profession.
Now, there are also what we call professional competence and due care. These principles are equally essential for ensuring the quality and integrity of work in the accounting field.
Yes. Professional competence is all about ensuring that accountants possess the necessary skills and expertise to perform their roles effectively. This means staying up to date with the latest accounting standards, regulations, and industry practices.
Exactly. Public accountants are entrusted with significant responsibilities, so having the right qualifications and continuously developing their expertise is essential. Professional competence is not just about knowledge, but also about applying that knowledge accurately in real-world situations.
And then there's due care. This principle emphasizes the importance of acting with diligence, responsibility, and thoroughness. Public accountants are expected to complete their tasks carefully, ensuring that all work is done to the highest possible standard.
Yes, due care involves exercising caution and attention to detail in every aspect of the accounting process. Accountants must make sure that they're following the right procedures, taking into account any potential risk or errors. It's about delivering quality work that can be trusted.
Right. Professional competence ensures accountants have the necessary skills, while due care guarantees those skills are applied responsibly. Together, they preserve public trust and the integrity of the profession.
But let's not forget about professional behavior. It is another thing that public accountants must consistently uphold. It calls on auditors and assurance professionals to conduct their duties with objectivity, independence, and due care, ensuring that their actions uphold the trust placed in them by clients, stakeholders, and the public. Professional behavior is essential for maintaining the credibility and reliability of financial reporting, fostering public confidence in the profession.
Now that's another principle, because necessary skills and knowledge won't just be enough. Accountants must also be able to comply with relevant laws and regulations.
Yes, they must conduct themselves in a way that aligns with the professional's duty to serve the public interest in all professional activities while avoiding any behavior that could potentially discredit the profession.
To sum it up, the Code of Ethics for Professional Accountants provides the foundation for auditors to maintain high ethical standards in their work, including principles like integrity, objectivity, professional competence, due care, confidentiality, and professional behavior. These principles guide auditors in upholding independence, critically evaluating evidence, resisting external pressures, and protecting sensitive information. Professional competence and due care ensure that accountants have the necessary skills and apply them responsibly, while professional behavior maintains credibility and trust in the profession. Ultimately, auditors must comply with relevant laws, always acting in the public interest and avoiding any actions that could discredit the profession. For our third segment, let's take a moment to discuss the relationship between ethical standards and audit quality. We all know that ethical principles guide auditors to deliver reliable and independent reports. But these standards go beyond just compliance. They play a crucial role in preserving public trust. After all, financial statements aren't just numbers. They represent the financial health of companies and, by extension, affect the lives of employees, investors, and even the entire economy. Ethical standards ensure that these statements are truthful, transparent, and above all, reliable.
Exactly. Ethical conduct impacts every aspect of the audit. For instance, integrity ensures auditors report findings honestly, even when they're unfavorable to the client. A high-quality audit can only happen when auditors stay true to these principles and avoid compromising their objectivity.
And professional behavior is key. Auditors must act in a way that reflects well on the profession. When they make decisions with the public's best interests in mind, the credibility of financial reporting improves.
Right. Maintaining independence is crucial. If an auditor gets too close to a client, it can cloud their judgment. Ethical standards like this ensure the audit is reliable and objective.
Exactly. And don't forget professional skepticism. Auditors must question everything. This mindset ensures they don't just accept information at face value, but digs deeper to verify the truth.
And let's not overlook confidentiality. Auditors must protect sensitive information but also know when disclosure is necessary for the public interest or legal reasons.
In the end, ethics shape the entire audit process. Auditors must prioritize transparency, integrity, and objectivity, ensuring that financial statements reflect the truth and uphold trust in the financial system.
And that's what makes high-quality audits so crucial. They help maintain confidence in financial reporting, supporting businesses, investors, and the economy as a whole.
So, how can audit firms improve their processes and adhere more strictly to these standards? This will be our main topic for the fourth segment, Strengthening Audit Quality and Ethics. One key strategy is ongoing training and professional development. As the landscape of financial reporting and regulation evolves, auditors must stay informed about the latest standards and best practices.
Right. Training is not just about technical updates. Firms need to go beyond that by preparing their staff for emerging challenges like sustainability reporting and advanced audit technologies. These areas are becoming increasingly important, and investing in professional growth of auditors help ensure they're equipped to handle complex issues with confidence.
Exactly. And alongside training, audit firms need to foster a culture of ethical awareness. This means making ethics a part of everyday discussions. It's not just something we hear about during annual seminars. Auditors should feel empowered to handle ethical dilemmas and address conflicts of interest in line with the code of ethics.
That's a great point. Firms also need to reinforce the principles of integrity, objectivity, and professional behavior. These aren't just words. They're the backbone of every quality audit. Regular workshops, real-life case studies, and discussions can help embed these values into the organization's DNA.
Absolutely. And transparency is another critical factor. Firms need standardized systems for key audit processes. Automation, for example, can reduce errors and make the entire process more efficient. But even with automation, regular reviews, both internal and external, are essential to keep everyone accountable and ensure high-quality outcomes.
I completely agree. Plus, strengthening internal quality controls can go a long way in maintaining consistency across engagements. Centralized quality checks, aligned with global best practices, can enhance credibility and public trust.
And let's not forget the role of regular audits of the firm's internal quality management system. These audits not only identify areas for improvement, but also demonstrate the firm's commitment to excellence.
Exactly. But it's not just about processes. Ethics play a huge role here. Firms need to provide training that focuses on real-world ethical dilemmas Having clear whistleblowing policies, for example, can encourage staff to report unethical behavior without fear of retaliation.
That's so true. Ethics and independence are the cornerstones of public trust. By focusing on these areas, firms can ensure that their audits aren't just technically sound, but also credible and respected by stakeholders.
In the end, it's all about balancing professional development, ethical culture, transparency, and strong internal controls. When these elements come together, they create a solid foundation for high-quality audits that stakeholders can rely on. Now, let's connect all the dots. We've talked about quality management, the importance of independence, and the ethical rules auditors need to follow. But how does all of these tie back to financial reporting quality?
Good question! For our last segment, it all boils down to maintaining trust in financial statements. The longer an auditor works with a client, what we call audit tenure, the more likely they are to become too comfortable. This can lead to a decline in the quality of the audit. If the auditor gets too familiar with the client, they might not challenge the client's financial statements as rigorously as they should. And that's where the audit status comes in. When a company is audited by a Big Four firm, there's generally an expectation that their financials will be top-notch. But long audit tenures, even with Big Four firms, can still lead to complacency.
Exactly. Research has shown that long audit tenures might actually reduce financial reporting quality because auditors may miss things they otherwise would have flagged early on. A fresh perspective from a new auditor could actually help uncover discrepancies that might have gone unnoticed by someone who's been working with a company for years.
Right. This is why periodic changes in auditors or bringing in additional reviews can help maintain high-quality financial reporting. Audit firms have to be aware of these dynamics and ensure that they are not becoming too comfortable with the client, no matter how long the relationship has lasted.
And let's not forget the audit status, whether it's a Big Four firm or a smaller firm. Larger firms often have more resources and established reputations, but they still face challenges if their auditors stay too long with one client. So it's crucial to stay vigilant, even if you're part of a prestigious firm.
Ultimately, audit tenure and audit status play a big role in financial reporting quality. To maintain trust, auditors need to balance their experience with objectivity, keep their relationships fresh, and always follow the code of ethics. This ensures that financial statements are accurate and that stakeholders can make informed decisions.
Exactly. So to wrap things up, the key takeaway here is that audit tenure and audit status need to be managed carefully to maintain the integrity and quality of audits. Firms and auditors need to ensure they're constantly questioning assumptions, remaining independent, and bringing fresh eyes to the process.
And the bottom line is that financial reporting quality depends on all of these factors working together. By staying committed to high standards, being vigilant about ethical practices, and managing tenure and status, auditors can ensure they're delivering trustworthy and reliable reports every time. Thanks for joining us today on Audit Insights. We hope today's episode gave you a better understanding of the importance of quality management, ethics, and financial reporting quality.
If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe so you don't miss out our future discussions. And as always, feel free to share this podcast with anyone interested in the world of auditing. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.